Welcome to the Thursday night broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Will satisfy me, no. take a soul that was lost and turn it around. Lord, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone, but you can make it tender again with your love. Stir up a hunger. Nothing will satisfy me, nothing else will do. Stir up a hunger in my heart. Stir up a hunger in my heart for more of you. Day and tonight, you can turn the dark into light. You can take a soul and turn it around. Lord, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone, but you can make it tender again with your love. Stir up a hunger, a hunger in my heart. Nothing will satisfy me, nothing else will.
Just thank you for another day to serve you. for your spirit, for what you've done for us and the sufficiency of it, Lord. And I ask that you just bless those that are preaching, that your word may go forth and prepare our hearts to receive it and go forward in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, everybody. I came up here very unprepared this evening, praise God. So I'm going to go to 1 Peter, chapter 2, starting at verse 20. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead in sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I know that we've been reading through David, through Samuel, which is the story. Some of it is the story of David. And there's an incident where Saul is within a cave, and David and his men are also in the same cave. And David secretly cuts off a piece of Saul's skirt. And, you know, he was then pricked in his heart. And not because of Saul, not because of the great guy that Saul was, but because of Saul's position. So David comes out in humility and bows himself down to the earth. And I know for me, when I'm called out on stuff, and Saul didn't even call David out on these things, you see where in the natural, David would have been, you know, justified in killing Saul, because Saul has been chasing him to this point and trying to kill him, and for no reason in the natural, but because David has the Spirit of the Lord is now why Saul is after David. I know for me, when I am called to account on things, my natural instinct is to justify myself or pass the blame on somebody else. It was somebody else, rather than just accepting it. So then you read the part of, if ye be buffeted, and let me look back to see exactly what it said, because I don't remember. But if when ye do well and suffer it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So even if you're corrected in something, or even if there are attitudes or something said, you can still take it patiently. And I know for me, I struggle in taking things that I did and I'm called to account in patiently. So you see where the Lord, there was no sin, there was no guile, there was none of that in the Lord, and he took it. He took it for us. By his stripes we were healed. So praise God. And that's all I have tonight.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever. Thank you.
the redeemed shall be strong in purpose and unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength.
Than you, so we'll go with what you had. We're supposed to be instant in season and out, right? Somewhere I heard that. The thing that gets me, and I believe I am accurate in this from what I was just looking at, the English translated from the Greek here uses the patient word like an adverb modifying suffering being the verb, I believe. Buffeted. One of those is a verb, and it's being modified by adverb, patiently. And the patient root of that is the same patient word in Romans 5 and elsewhere. That means when you, as you go through these things that, you know, start out not so good and getting worse and turn out to be real afflictions and things that are just unpleasant. But you don't lose hope. You believe God's word and you know He's faithful. And you can't change your mind. There's nothing the enemy can do to you. There's no kind of testimony this flesh can put on you that's going to change your mind about the faithfulness of our God and the goodness of our God. Now, all these kinds of negative things, they are trials. They test you so that both you and those over you know where you're at. It'd be really ugly for you to be going before Jesus on Judgment Day having never had any qualifying test to determine where you're at. It may shock you and a whole bunch of other people who thought they were doing really well who find out, gee, my faith and trust in the Lord has never been tested. When I'm talking to him here about why I should be part of his heavenly kingdom, I don't really know if I can answer that. It's the same idea that Paul puts forth back in Romans 5. Glory in what? Tribulation. There's no way, no other way to know whether you have enough to stand, and if you don't and you fall, then you can go back to the Lord for His grace and keep it ministered to you until you can stand. And when you can stand, it still ain't about you. It's because He is good. And this got to kind of this idea of the suffering Savior on the cross that he describes here. And that's all true. But if you don't understand what he's talking about here in the context that he's talking about, he sounds like a real loser who doesn't fight for his rights or his people. And none of that's the case. The case is he is submitted unto the Father to do His will. This is an example of his humility, not an example of him having abandoned his followers and just let them beat him to death. Because he has no standing and isn't righteous. But to the world, that's what's going on here in this passage. He's really a wimp. He's not fighting for his people. He's all kinds of things because he had all power in heaven and earth. He could have done there to keep that from happening. And he lets it happen. He really looks like a loser the world. And far, far from it. He started back in not quite the middle of John, kind of a little past the middle of John, specifying example after example of him showing his disciples how to do what he's called them to do. It was about teaching them how to handle their ministry, his ministry, when he left. And this whole piece from verse 20 down to verse 25 is about him showing them how to react to the enemy. You trust the God the Father to be your avenger. You believe His word, and you just let this stuff roll off your back. You resolve within yourself that there is nothing they can do to you that will knock you off the path of believing God, trusting His faithfulness, knowing how good He is, and know that He's going to show up for you. That's why it's all this is here, along with the obedience. He's doing this because the Father sent Him here to do this, because we needed it. I'm done.
I know He's rescued my soul. His blood is
till the end of every day. Praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise. Who is like him, the lion and the lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun till the end of every day. Praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, the flesh, but after the Spirit of God.
which are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.